Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule and your life to listen to this broadcast. Today on The Cross in the Desert is a very special broadcast. We are celebrating the great resurrection event. Even though this is officially not Easter Sunday, because my broadcast falls on a Thursday and doesn't reappear again until next Monday, I want to continue our themes on the great event of Easter. According to the Word of God, the Bible, Jesus triumphed over death, hell, and the grave in the resurrection. And yet, there are those skeptics today that believe that Christianity is nothing more than mythology. It's religious superstition. One such person was a man named Lee Strobel. He was a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. His wife had recently become a Christian, and he was outraged. He was an atheist. He wanted nothing to do with Christianity. And yet, he began a very serious, long, investigative journey investigating the claims of Christ. And after a long, difficult battle with unbelief and sin, Lee Strobel bowed his knee one day to the risen Lord Jesus Christ. The movie, The Case for Christ, is an amazing film. It shows how a woman, Lee's wife, persevered with great patience for a long time, waiting for her husband to place his faith in Christ. If you've never seen this movie, you owe it to yourself to go watch it, because it will show you the power of biblical evidences, the power of the gospel. If you have a friend or a loved one that is fighting hard against Christianity and you are praying for him or her, Know this, it is the power of the gospel that changes hearts and minds. And yet, God is pleased to use evidence. Well, what about the resurrection event? I've heard lots of people say, well, it doesn't really matter if it really happened in history. I have this experience in my heart that Jesus is risen. Well, if all that it is nothing more than an experience, then you and I are in big trouble, because the Bible says that if Christ is not raised from the dead, our hope and faith is in vain. I want you to hear right now from author, lecturer, great friend Lee Strobel on the John Ankerberg Show as they discuss the facts about the resurrection as being an historical event.
We're talking with Lee Strobel. He was the former legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. He was a skeptic, a straight-out atheist. And as he started to investigate the claims of Christianity, the claims of Christ, he came down to the key point, namely the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Did it happen? And he's talking about the points underneath that question, did Jesus rise from the dead, the evidence that started to persuade him that, goodness sakes, possibly this thing actually happened. All right, you already talked about the fact of, review for us here.
Now, first, the execution. Yep. Jesus was definitely dead when he was taken down from the cross. And then the early accounts. This is not a legend that developed a long time ago. We have extremely early accounts that affirm the resurrection. Then I go on to the third E, which is the empty tomb. And the most powerful fact about the empty tomb of all, I think, is that nobody in the first century was claiming it was anything but empty. In other words, everybody conceded it was empty. The authorities tried to spread the story that the disciples were asleep, or that the guards were asleep and the disciples stole the body, which made no sense because they had no motive or means or opportunity, besides which that's admitting the body is gone.
Yeah, and if you're sleeping, how'd you know it was the disciples?
Exactly. Yep. The story never made sense in the beginning. Nobody believes it today. But the bottom line is even the skeptics had to come up with a story to try to explain it away, even though they were unsuccessful in doing it.
Yeah. Plus, 75% of the scholars, critical scholars out there, they believe that's a historical fact.
And that includes the skeptical scholars.
Yeah.
That's Christian, atheist. The people who really studied this issue, 75% agree the tomb was empty.
Okay, so you got another point in the historical record. You've got an empty tomb of Jesus, so that raises the question, what in the world happened to the body?
And the next E, therefore, is eyewitnesses. And what we have is 515 people who encountered the resurrected Jesus. And we have Paul, you know, talking about his own experience. We have, you know, the earliest account that we have of all of the resurrection, which is this 1 Corinthians 15 creed that we talked about of the early church. That mentions 500 people at once encountering him. And then I love what it says. It says, oh, excuse me, by the way, a lot of these guys are still around. You don't believe me? Go talk to them. Check it out yourself. No way they would have said that if it wasn't true.
Yeah, you could verify it.
Exactly. So if you were to call to a witness stand all of the people who encountered the resurrected Jesus and just cross-examine each one of them for 15 minutes apiece and go around the clock, you'd be sitting here for 126 straight hours listening to eyewitness accounts. How many people, after hearing 126 straight hours, would walk away saying, eh, I don't believe it? You know, I mean,
used to sit in court and do that.
Exactly. I've seen people sent to the death chamber on a fraction of this kind of evidence. So I think there's powerful evidence that Jesus was encountered these individuals whose lives were transformed, including Saul, the persecutor of Christians, who became Paul, the great missionary. Why? Because of the resurrection. The half-brother of Jesus, James, who was a doubter of Jesus' divinity during his lifetime, becomes a leader of the local church. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 15 says he encountered the resurrected Jesus.
All right. Then you have the emergence of the church.
The emergence of the church. And what's amazing about that is in the very city where Jesus had been put to death, the disciples are going around a few weeks later saying, hey, he rose from the dead. Now, how do you sell that to people if they're there and they know better? Instead, what we see is the disciples appealing to the common knowledge that their audiences had. Peter got up in the very same city where Jesus had been put to death a few weeks later and looked at people. And he says, you remember Jesus? He did miracles in your midst. You know that he did. And then he said, this Jesus, God raised from the dead, quote, to which we're all witnesses. Well, how did they respond? Did they say, Peter, come on, you're exaggerating, you're making this stuff up? No. History shows that on that day, 3,000 people said, Peter, we know you're telling the truth. What do we do? And they found forgiveness and grace through Jesus Christ, and the church is miraculously born in the very same city where he's put to death. How do you explain that if this is legend, or if it's stuff that they were making up, they were exaggerating, and they were lying about. I think that's powerful stuff.
Now, I know that the excitement of Lee Strobel, and he's a passionate, exciting person, that is goes through this evidence so quickly. You probably go, wow, how do I remember everything? Well, let's kind of go over each one of the points. E would be the early accounts we have of the resurrection. Now, remember, Lee is trained as an editor, as a journalist at the Chicago Tribune. And so he is going to go through each piece of this evidence meticulously. He is going to go through it with a fine-tooth comb until he absolutely knows and is satisfied that this is true. One of the first examples of the movie is, well, how do I really know that Jesus died on the cross? You know, how do we know that? What is the evidence for his execution? Well, New Testament scholar who was an atheist, Gerd Ludemann, calls the evidence for the execution indisputable. There are multiple early accounts of Jesus' death in the New Testament, and we've got five ancient sources outside the Bible that confirm his execution. And the Journal of the American Medical Association concluded, clearly, the weight of the historical and medical evidence indicates that Jesus was dead before the wound to his side was inflicted. Well, okay, so there's indisputable evidence. Even the liberal Jesus seminar agrees that Jesus was executed. But, you know, these stories, these manuscripts, after such a long time, they become legends. They were written, what, centuries after the events? Well, no, Lee thought the resurrection was just a legend. But classical historian A.N. Sherwin White of Oxford said it took more than two generations in the ancient world for legends to develop and wipe out a solid core of historical truth. Yet, we have a report of the resurrection preserved for us in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-7 that comes far too quickly after Jesus' death to be considered a legend. In fact, scholar James Dudd said, we can be entirely confident that this report was formulated within months of Jesus' death. And that's not the only early report we have. The four Gospels contain others that date back to within a generation of Jesus. Now, the third E, the tomb was empty. Well, I mean, what does that say? Well, the critic said the disciples stole the body. Well, Lee said, I reason maybe the body was never entombed in the first place. I have heard skeptics claim that the Romans didn't allow the burial of crucifixion victims. However, the Digesta, a summary of Roman law, says the bodies of persons who had been punished should be given to whoever requests them for the purposes of burial. In fact, in 1968, archaeologists found the remains of a crucifixion victim with the spike still through his ankle bone. So, yes, they did bury these victims. Now, there are eyewitness accounts. Lee went to those accounts. While we only have one or two sources for much of what we know from the ancient history, we have nine ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming the testimony of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus. Could they have been hallucinating or experiencing grief-generated visions of their leaders? Well, no way. Psychologists told this to Lee Strobel. Hallucinations are like dreams. They happen in individual minds. Our earliest report of the resurrection says 500 people saw Jesus at the same time. That would be a bigger miracle than the resurrection itself. So, and this, again, goes against the grain. Hallucination doesn't happen in groups of people. Saul of Tarsus wasn't psychologically primed to have a vision of the risen Christ. He was persecuting the church. Neither was James, the half-brother of Jesus, who was a doubter during Jesus' lifetime. They both died, however, as leaders of the church, Paul and James. Why? Because the resurrected Jesus had appeared to them. And so, finally, Lee says, I reached my verdict. The evidence for the resurrection of Jesus was clear and convincing. That's why I repented of my sins and received him as my forgiver and leader on November 8th, 1981. This is what happened to atheist and skeptic Lee Strobel, because the evidence is overwhelming. And he came to a point where he said, my life has to be changed. I am no longer the captain of my own salvation. I want to read to you the great resurrection chapter from the Bible to underpin everything I've shared with you, everything that Lee Strobel has shared with you. 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance, which I also received, that Christ died for our sins, in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he also appeared to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. Verse 12, listen carefully. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul outlines here very clearly, if the resurrection didn't happen, our faith is in vain, we have no hope, we are of all people most to be pitied if we have hope in just this life. Apparently, there was some strange teaching going on in the Corinthian church that undermined the credibility of the resurrection, and Paul had to correct that false teaching. I remember in 1975 when my grandmother passed away. In her will, one of the gifts to me was her precious, beautiful King James Bible. I didn't know a word about the Bible. I was a practicing Roman Catholic. I had so many questions. But as years went on, I had an insatiable fear of death. And one day, just because I was a Catholic, and I remember some things in the priest's sermons, I opened up and read the Gospels. And I remember that my mind and my heart was riveted on the report that Jesus had risen from the dead, that the tomb was empty. This story gave me real hope, and I began to look at it with real eyes of faith. And after much soul searching, my fear of death was vanquished. And one day, after going to a hayride at a local church, I walked down the aisle during an altar call and gave my life to Christ. The fear of death was swallowed up in the victorious resurrection of Jesus. And as I have studied year after year since that day, almost 40 years ago, I can tell you with an absolute certainty, I have confidence and true faith and trust that this resurrection is an event that is not only historical, but life-changing. It is based on good, solid evidence. The early Christians were fearless in their preaching of the resurrection right in the city of Jerusalem where Jesus had been crucified. And one thing is for certain, every one of them, without exception, to the Apostle John were martyrs for the Christian faith. Think of it this way. If they willingly had stolen the body and they believed a lie, when it came time for their death as martyrs, that would have changed everything. But they willingly died for what they believed. The bottom line is liars don't make good martyrs, because their life had indeed been changed. They did see the risen Jesus after his death. And this is a marvelous historical life-changing event that has changed the life of millions of people all over the world. Muslims don't believe in the resurrection. They don't believe in the crucifixion. The Quran teaches otherwise. But Jesus has appeared in dreams and visions to Muslims all over the world, and they are radically being changed by the power of the gospel, the power of the resurrection. Speaking of power, I want you to hear this powerful song right now, by a man whose life was changed by Jesus Christ, the late, great Keith Green, singing Easter Song.
Hear the bells ringing that sing that you can be born again. Hear the bells. Tombstone, and he has risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciple that Jesus Christ is no longer dead. Joy.
There is a beautiful story of faith, transforming faith, in the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. It is Easter morning. These two bewildered disciples are discussing all the events that happened in Jerusalem on the road to Emmaus. And as they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still, and while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. Now notice that Jesus is doing everything to show him his wounds, to show him his flesh and bones, that it is really a body, a resurrected, glorified body, no longer subject to death and decay. It is glorified in the resurrection. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. Jesus showed them in the scripture, gave them understanding of how all of the Old Testament prophecies pointed to him as the Messiah. In the prophets, in the Psalms, everything was there. The law of Moses all pointed to this incredible day. "Thus it is written," Jesus says, "that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sin should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high." Jesus commissioned his first apostles, his disciples, to be witnesses, to be bearers of the good news of Jesus Christ. That good news is still alive today. It is transforming the hardest of hearts, the most disobedient of hearts. It transformed the life of Lee Strobel from an angry skeptic to a vibrant new believer in Jesus Christ. He has written so many books in defense of the Christian faith since he became a Christian in 1981. What about you? Have you rolled away the stone of your heart and opened your eyes to see the risen Jesus? He is alive. He is the living Savior. He is the Lord of the universe. He comes to give you peace. He comes to take away the stain and the death of sin. He comes to cleanse you of all your guilt and shame. He is the risen Jesus. He can come and give you new life and give you new hope. And the Bible says all who call upon his name shall be saved. I invite you today to call out to Jesus, to cry out to Jesus, that he would come and roll away the stone of your heart and give you new life and new hope. God bless you. Happy Easter. I will see you next Monday on the Cross in the Desert.
Hear the bells ringing, they're singing that you can be tombstone, and he has risen just as he said. Quickly now, go tell his disciple that Jesus Christ is no longer dead.